Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please be seated. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's Press Club debate. I'd like to issue a special welcome to our guests today, Treasurer and Deputy Premier Kevin Foley, and his Liberal Shadow and Deputy Opposition Leader Stephen Griffiths. Also like to welcome Mr Foley's ministerial colleague, Michael O'Brien, and other MPs, the Member for Waite, Martin Hamilton-Smith, the Member for Frome, Geoff Brock, Member for Hammond, Adrian Pederick, and the Member for Shubert, Ivan Venning. The Local Government Association is supporting today's function, and they have a good turnout today, so thanks very much for coming along, and led by their President, Felicity Ann Lewis. Representing our generous sponsors, we have Kim Hume from Telstra, Kim Fell from the Hotel Grand Chancellor, and Jeff Timms from Timms Manufacturing Jewellers. And, of course, our debate team, headed by moderator Rosanna Mangiarelli from Today Tonight, our panellists Paul Starrick from The Advertiser, Nick Harmson from ABC TV, and Hendrik Gout from The Independent Weekly. And I'll make some more formal introductions a little later. You're enjoying some wines from Jacob's Creek on your tables there and beers from SA Brewing. Please don't forget there's a raffle going around, 3 tickets for $5. We have a gift from Telstra, also a $300 voucher from Tim's Manufacturing Jewellers, and some beer from SA Brewing. For the time being, enjoy your meal, and I'll be back shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, the contrasting leadership credentials couldn't be starker in this election. On the Labor side, you have the nation's longest serving Premier and the nation's longest serving Treasurer, whose combined experience leading this state is 16 years. The combined experience of their Liberal counterparts in the same opposition roles is just 16 months. In many ways, Kevin Foley is probably the best-known politician in this state. Occasionally, for the wrong reasons, he insists his bother boy image is just a facade and that in reality he's at times sad and lonely, an emotional softy in search of companionship. But if at times he struggles with the art of love, he's been far more successful over the years with the art of managing money. Our money. By comparison, Stephen Griffiths is largely unknown. When Kevin Foley entered Parliament in 1993, Stephen Griffiths was starting work as CEO of the Oraru Peterborough Council. Since then, he's worked extensively in local government here and in New South Wales. He's been an MP for just 4 years. In less than 2 weeks, he could be holding the state's purse strings. Naturally, Rann and Redmond have hogged the headlines since the campaign began. Now it's the turn of Foley and Griffiths. I'd like to thank both gentlemen for agreeing to debate the issues for the Press Club and for all of you today. And I'll now hand over to Rosanna Mangiarelli to introduce the panel and to explain the rules for today's debate. Rosanna.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Grant. Good afternoon to you all. It's lovely to have a great representation from the Local Government Association, as Grant pointed out. Welcome to you, Mr. Foley, and to you, Mr. Griffiths. Surely it will be a fun afternoon. There's one word to describe it anyway. As Grant has outlined, our panellists for today, perhaps we can start calling them up. Paul Starrick from the Advertiser. Welcome, Paul, who's actually the editor of Adelaide Now. We have Nick Harmson from the ABC, political reporter. Where is Nick? Oh, all the way over there. And last but not least, Hendrik Gout, who's the editor of the Independent Weekly. Welcome, Hendrik. Well, just before we do invite Mr. Foley and Mr. Griffiths up, I'll just outline some of the rules, which are clearly known to both of you. First, we'll do a coin toss to decide who gets to speak first, and whoever wins can decide to speak second. It's up to you. Whoever delivers that opening statement will, of course, get the closing statement. We'll have the opening speech at 2 minutes. We've got our timekeeper down here, and I'll also assist in that role as well. So after each question, they'll have 90 seconds to respond. The right of reply will be 30 seconds. Obviously we want to keep to time, but, I might give you a second or two here or there. Also, we'll be taking a few questions from the floor. We have a few representatives from the local government who'll be asking those questions, and that will be shortly after the panellists do ask theirs. Then we'll have a minute summary, and that's pretty much the way it goes. So pretty simple, and I'm sure you'll all pay attention to our speakers and all look forward to it. So can we please invite Mr. Kevin Foley and Mr. Stephen Griffiths up, please? Now, I'm not sure if
Foley and rules. Foley and rules don't normally go together. So
they better switch your microphone on there. Now, talking about rules, anyone, and magic tricks, I did have a coin here that someone has obviously stolen. It was 20 cents that I have worked very hard for. Anyone?
Ask the Treasurer.
Clearly not. Anyone got 20 cents or any coin for me?
The Treasurer should have plenty.
Yeah, the Treasurer's got a... Oh, thank you so kindly. Oh, a dollar. I'll be keeping that one. No, I am curious to know where that 20-cent piece went. Anyway. Okay. Well, you can call it first, Kevin, given that you've been around longer. What would you like to go for?
Tails. It didn't work for me last week and it won't work for me today.
Should do okay, given it's a double header.
Oh,
yes. Gotcha. Oh, it goes to Stephen. So would you like to speak first, Stephen?
I'll go second.
You'll go second. Ooh.
Interesting. Can I just quickly say before my 2 minutes? Can I say something quickly?
Oh, is he? Okay, quickly.
I just want to say how great it is for democracy that there are corporate sponsors here tonight to ensure that our media and our press club are supported financially, and it's good to be at the press club fundraiser. As a Labor, as us politicians do, we need corporate support, and I'm glad the press have the same motivation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Foley. Take it away.
Thank you very much. Well, I also have a secret weapon with me today. With you, Hendrik, I've brought my gout tablets. That's my inoculation against Hendrik. Can I say from the outset that clearly this election is a pivotal one for our state? When we came to office 8 years ago, what did we face as a government? We faced 4 years of accumulative budget deficits of some $1 billion. Our economy was in decline. Annual average job growth under the former 8 years of Liberal government was 0.98%, and only 5,300 jobs were created. This is not about putting forward a record, but putting in some context as we argue the need to move forward. We've been able to get the budget back into surplus. We totally paid off budget sector debt only a few years ago, restored the AAA credit rating, structurally have the budget in a sound position, notwithstanding the effect of the global financial crisis. Infrastructure spending is now five times larger at $3.9 billion as what it was when we came to office. 60,000 full-time jobs compared to those 5,000 111,000 jobs in total over those 8 years, 1.9%, 1.92 average annual job growth, unemployment at 4.4%, the lowest we have seen it in South Australia in the pre-war, post-war period, and I can go on to say that substantial tax cuts, substantial increases in police, 600 more police than when we came to office, 1,000 more doctors, 3,700 more nurses, and $2 billion more being spent on health. But where are we? So I would argue that going forward, experience has never been more important. We are not out of the woods in terms of economic uncertainty. We are in a much better position than we were before. The experience that I've certainly gained in my 8 years in this job and my previous employment meant that I knew how to react to adversity when it hit us very, very rapidly.
And I will cut you off there, Mr. Foley. Thank you very much. That was 2 minutes gone, obviously. Experience.
I was waiting for my 30 seconds.
She did give it to you. Obviously weren't looking. But 8 years, pretty impressive record. Stephen, if I can ask you to give your opening address.
Thank you, Rosanna, and thank you to the press for the opportunity to be here with you today. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of South Australia are crying out for a change. I recognise in Isabel Redman and her team that there is now a political party who has the capacity to form government that will focus on the needs of South Australia and in turn make opportunity become reality. The resilience of the South Australian people is amazing. They have a desire to succeed and overcome any hurdle that's put in front of them. I believe that for the last 8 years, that hurdle has been the Rand Foley Labor government. Government policy is very important, but government policy needs to empower people. Isabel Redman and the Liberal team are focused on providing the opportunity for our economy to grow, for our businesses to grow, for them to become more profitable, and indeed to create more job opportunities for the people who want to live in South Australia. Achieving this requires a government that understands the economy and that is clearly the Liberal Party. Tax reform has to occur. All South Australians need to know that the Liberal Party has driven this for the last 2 years, while Kevin Foley and the Labor Party have resisted it at every opportunity. In October of 2009, we announced our policy on reducing the land tax burden on South Australians. The Liberal Party understands the need to create an environment in which investment is actually encouraged, an environment in which property ownership is sought after, and not something to be avoided for the fear of land tax liability making owning property unprofitable. Payroll tax is an enormous disincentive also to employment growth, and that's what we're focused on, is employment growth. Again, the Liberal Party recognises this, and I'm very proud of the fact that we've announced our policy of increasing the threshold on payroll tax in 2011 and 2012. The opportunity is here today for you to be convinced about what the Liberal Party can do, and indeed for us to deliver the message to South Australians about an alternative option that is here and is governable and will make the state move forward in a strong way.
You've got a good speechwriter, Steve.
And 2 minutes on the dot as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Griffiths. We will open up the panel, if we may, start with Paul Starrick from Adelaide Now, the editor indeed. Please go for it.
A question for Mr. Foley. Mr. Foley, you talked a lot about the government's strong record in economic management and job creation, and in, as you argue, hauling the state out of a near an economic abyss. Given that record, or despite that record, you're now, in the Premier's words, the underdog to win the next election, which is only a few days away. One extraordinary factor in this election campaign has been the Chantelloy factor, the Premier's friendship with Michelle Chantelloy. How much of an issue has that been in terms of a factor eroding the trust in the Premier and subsequently eroding the poll results for your and the support for your government?
Well, look, we're here to discuss the important issues of finances and the economy going forward and about what will be the critical choices at the next state election, not here to discuss personal matters. And my view would be that I think all South Australians are sick to death with that issue, and I want to talk about issues of substance.
Did you have anything to say on the issue, Mr. Griffin?
No, right there. I'll focus on what the economic needs of South Australia are.
Okay, so it's all about economy. Thank you. Paul.
A further question, or further on that, to Mr. Griffiths. You've been criticised as Deputy Leader for your lack of profile, for the lack of public appearances, for letting the former Treasurer, Rob Lucas, make the running on economic management. Your experience includes managing, as we heard in the introduction, suburban and country councils. I apologise. For one high-profile former Labor federal opposition leader, that didn't help him in his quest to become Prime Minister. How can we trust you in a couple of weeks to be run, well, in a couple of days to be running the purse strings of this state?
Paul, I'm up to this job. Everything I've done in my life has led me towards this direction. Local government, and I worked there for 27 years, was a great chance for me to understand the needs of the community, to understand the issues involved in prioritisation of expenditure and the ability to take revenue from people and still give them the chance to actually afford it. It involves an amazing and complex city of things. Local government is smaller in its numbers involved, but the principles upon it all are still exactly the same. I come to the Parliament 4 years ago as a person who's focused upon the needs of the community that elected me, and if provided that opportunity, the needs of the state of South Australia. I'm confident that everything I have learnt in my life puts me now in a position to be in a position to manage the finances of South Australia in the way that South Australians expect it to be, and to deliver the services and infrastructure they need.
And can I say, I know Mark Latham and Steve Griffiths. For all of our criticism, you'll know Mark Latham.
And I don't want to be Mark Latham.
That was a compliment.
Well, a relative newcomer to the game, Mr. Foley, your response to that question, 30 seconds. Thank you.
Well, look, I've got experience. I mean, ultimately, this is about a political party that we argue is not ready for government. It's a question of whether or not we continue the momentum which has seen the lowest unemployment rate in this state's history. We have got great diversity of our economy, diversity that we didn't have in decades past. We've taken a hard line towards promoting major developments, towards promoting economic development, and we have managed the finances, I would argue, exceptionally well. Now, it's a question of whether or not we can afford, and if we want to make trust the issue, can you trust a political party for which there is either no experience or throwbacks to those ministers such as Rob Lucas that presided over the last Liberal government.
30 seconds is well and truly up. I will get Nick Harmson to ask the next question.
Do I address to Mr. Foley or Mr. Griffiths first?
Whoever you wish.
Well, Treasurer, if I can put to you, you've described yourself as a Treasurer who delivers surpluses, yet future budget surpluses are dependent on you finding $750 million in savings by 2013. Why, after 8 years in government, do you need to form a new committee to tell you where to find those savings? And don't South Australians have a right to know where those cuts will be before the election?
Well, thank you, Nick, and that's a question you've asked me many times. Well, firstly, the global financial crisis hit us with a gusto that we could not either predict or prepare totally for. It wiped $3 billion off the forward estimates in terms of our revenue. We've got about half of that back, and as I've announced in the paper, and I've briefed Steve on it, we've got a rebalancing of our GST funding from the Commonwealth, which will give us about another $300 to $400 million over the forward estimates, probably in excess of $400, I should say. Together with that, we've already achieved a 2.5% outcome, one of the lowest outcomes for wages growth we've seen in the public sector for decades, achieved under this Labor government. That delivers upwards of $150 million of those savings. So we have got a large proportion of those savings. But why have I brought a commissioner in? I brought in a gentleman who headed up Peter Costello and John Howard's audit commission. When you're in government and you are constantly presiding over the books of government, and Steve has a different opinion, and I respect that, but my experience tells me that bringing in outside experts with no prejudice, with no preconceived ideas about how we spend money, and somebody as right-wing, I might add, as dry economically, who drives efficiency in everything he does, such as Professor Carmody. He did a very good job for John Howard and Peter Costello. I want him to go through and tear apart every bit of government spending and make sure that it can be justified. If it can't, it has to be ditched.
Thank you very much, Mr. Foley.
You need fresh eyes.
Mr. Griffiths, your right of reply, need for a commissioner?
President, I find it amazing that after 8 years as Treasurer, Kevin Foley doesn't have a greater command of it. 4 years ago, he had a Smith review, which recommended savings. He's had efficiency dividend requirements since then. He's had dollar savings within budgets. Now he goes to outside consultants. Surely the expertise exists within government to ensure that government is efficient in how it spends money. The Liberal Party does not support the Sustainable Budget Commission. We believe that it should be done in-house and it should be as efficient as possible to create the savings needed to balance the books. And Kevin Foley hasn't told anybody about his future debt situation of $6.8 billion. That's the scary part. $711 million in interest payments per year.
Where do you get that figure from, Steve?
Your budget figures, Kevin.
Where is that figure? Is that general government debt or non...
I've answered the question.
And your time is up for both of you anyway, so we'll move on to that out in the car park. But
oh, sorry, we can't
your
interrupt.
Question for Mr. Griffiths.
I told you I don't stick to rules.
Your question for Mr. Griffiths. Thanks, Nick.
Stephen Griffiths, you've come under sustained pressure from Kevin Foley and other government ministers about your hospital savings, your $1 billion, which you say you'll put into country health. If you've done your sums properly, why won't you release those costings in full so the public can be the judge?
Just to clarify, the $700 million proposal that we have for the rollout of that hospital rebuild compared to the $1.7 billion that Kevin's put on the books is $1 billion in savings. It'll be focused on putting that reduced expenditure back into regional and suburban hospitals, so it's all across South Australia. We actually have a very extensive costings on this figure. It's a proposal that's an exciting one. It compares very favourably to the price per square metre of the government's proposal for a new hospital in the Railyard site. It does stand up and it does stack up, and it will ensure that the service is provided, the structure is there, the doctors have the facilities to accommodate the needs of the health of South Australia while saving $1 billion that we can return to other areas in the state. It's an important initiative. I am flabbergasted by the fact that constantly the Labor Party tries to refute our costings on this. And indeed, you haven't put out your summary of what yours is going to cost and the breakdown component of it too. We can deliver 56,000 square metres of structure that will meet the health needs of South Australians at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. It will create an opportunity for our health needs to be met now and into the future.
Thank you very much, Mr. Griffiths. Your take on the Liberals' health costings, Mr. Bowman.
What Steve Griffiths hasn't been able to explain is that there is a massive failure and black hole in what they're promoting. There is $1.7 billion, they say, they will spend on health, $700 for the RA, $1 billion elsewhere. They also say they'll spend $250 million shifting the rail yards for the City West site on $200 million. Sorry. Well, no, our figures are $250 million, but let's cut the difference, $225 million. Then we look at you'll have to build a canopy over the rail yards of a further $350 million to build your oval.
I'm just let you finish your sentence, and I just did.
Right.
So thank you.
No, I haven't finished.
But your time is up. It's a strict rule. You can get your turn in a minute. Mr. Gout, your question for either Mr. Foley or Mr. Griffiths.
Mr. Foley, this election is about trust in part. You promised before in 2002 no new taxes or increases in taxes, and I think we got them. You wrote to the AHA promising no new gaming taxes, and I think in came a super pokies tax. You said in 2006, the last election campaign, no TSVPs in the public sector, and I think there were 1,600. And then there was the tram line to the north, all the way to the northwest. You said in Parliament, in response to Liberal taunts about that, that you said, I think, you do not have the moral fibre to go back on your promises. I have. My question to you is, are the Treasurer's new clothes this election spun from moral fibre?
Well, Hendrick, your dislike of me is well known to all, but can I say that judge me on my record. If you don't like my record, you don't vote for me. What I can say is that as Treasurer of this state, I have delivered the best budget outcome, the best economic growth, the lowest unemployment, the biggest business investment this state has seen in the post-war period. I'm proud of that. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes.
When I make announcements in regards to what the Liberal Party will afford to do as part of its policy program, I give a commitment to South Australians that it's deliverable within the estimates that we provide. There is absolutely no doubt in that in my mind. If I'm held to account, so be it. But I give a commitment to all of you here and all South Australians that we will deliver on our proposals within the estimates.
You know the cameras are rolling, Stephen.
It doesn't make a difference to me.
Absolutely. Hendrick, your question to Mr. Griffiths.
Yes, Mr. Griffiths. You might remember Federal Treasurer Paul Keating banging on about vertical fiscal imbalance. As Alternative Treasurer, Mr. Griffiths, can you give us your understanding of the term? and how it relates to South Australia. And if you could comment on the size of the South Australian economy and the size of the state budget.
South Australian economy, and compared to the national figure, is some 6.5%, has come down since 2002 from 6.8%. The size of the budget as declared by the Treasurer in June of last year was $14.4 billion. As a result of the mid-year budget review has increased to, I think, $15.05 billion. So, you know, $600 million more on top of that. Vertical fiscal equalisation relates to the imbalance between all the states. It's relativity that actually comes into it. It allows, there's a recognition of how we do it, how other states do it, indeed with...
No, that's horizontal fiscal equalisation. You've got them confused, Steve.
You'll get your turn in a minute. Carry on, Stephen.
And it recognises the need for South Australia to be supported because of difficulties in providing services because of a smaller population and larger land mass.
Well, thank you. Vertical, horizontal. Well, please explain.
Stephen has just made the gaffe of the debate. Vertical fiscal... Well, I know there's a table over there cheering for Steve, but can I put this into perspective? Stephen just explained horizontal fiscal equalisation, where we have the grants, Commonwealth Grants Commission, that distributes the money on a methodology review amongst all states. Vertical fiscal imbalance is the difference between what level of government raises money and what levels of government have responsibility for expenditure. Felicity in local government knows exactly what vertical fiscal imbalance it is. It is where the Commonwealth raises about 60 to 70% of the nation's income, but the states are responsible for about 70% of service delivery.
Thank you very much, Mr. Foley.
The Treasurer would be doesn't understand basic principles of
accounting. Thank you very much, Mr. Foley. Your time is up. That was 30 seconds. And I will go back to Nick for another question.
Mr. Foley, you've mercilessly attacked your opponents on costings, accusing them of relying on contributions from the private sector to provide them for their hospital and their stadium in particular. But your stadium plans were costed by football and cricket authorities. Did you have your own independent costings done within government? And if you didn't, doesn't that damage your credibility on that key point?
Not at all. Those costings for the stadium, and bearing in mind that is a request that has come from football to us, they were prepared by a number of leading architects who specialise on stadium construction globally, not like what the Liberals have done with an architect whose specialty is hotels and houseboats. That work was undertaken significantly by both SACA and the SANFL and reviewed by our government officers. But I'll say this today. I'm prepared to support Stephen Griffiths being briefed by the Stadium Management Authority on all of the principles to date with that project. And he can also go and meet the head of our hospital project team and ask him any question he likes. Would you like to take up that offer? Good. Will you also now let me meet with Mr. Brzezinski, WT Partnerships, and the people who have costed your projects?
I'm confident that Paul Brzezinski is prepared to talk to you at any time.
And WTP, and can I see your costings?
You can meet with Paul Brzezinski.
Well, I'm prepared to make ours available to you.
Do I have the opportunity to respond to his comments?
You certainly do, but Mr. Foley's got 30 seconds.
I've offered Steve to have access to the people who are doing our numbers and to review our numbers, and he has refused to give me the same. Can I look at your numbers as well? Can I?
When do you respond? When I've got the call.
Well,
okay, take it on now.
Take it.
Mr. Griffiths, go for it.
It's interesting. Ever since this debate actually started to occur, you have criticised a private equity company that has existed within Australia for 30 years.
Private equity?
This company has existed in Australia with WT Partnerships, Quantity Surveyors, operating in Australia for 30 years. They're based in 15 different countries. They have 200 employees a year, and all you've done is actually criticise a private company that's done good work in a lot of different areas.
Well, let me see what they've done for you. You let me do that?
Kevin, I'm actually...
Can I see what they've done for you?
Generally, I'm amazed at the fact that when you put your proposal for Adelaide Oval on the table, $450 million, but then last Saturday, you were talking on radio about ballpark figures, $500 million. Have you had a meeting last week, Kevin, where you were told that it's actually $550 million?
No.
Thank you very much, Mr. Griffiths. We will move on.
Can I just ask a point of clarification?
Yeah, go for it.
When Steve Griffiths interrupts me, I hear nothing from over there, but if I do it to him, I get a...
Well, you said yourself it was clearly a Liberal table.
Okay. as long as that was noted by everyone else.
Obviously is. Thank you very much, Mr. Foley. I will get Nick to ask another question, then we'll move on to you, Paul.
Mr. Griffiths, Kevin Foley is rather direct and strident in his criticisms of you, and I think we've seen that today. Yet it's often left to the shadow finance spokesman, Rob Lucas, to respond, and indeed he held a press conference on the Adelaide Oval issue this morning. If you can't face up to Kevin Foley, how are you going to stand up to ministers and department chiefs when they come knocking on your door asking for more money?
Thank you, Nick, for the question. I can assure you that standing up to Kevin Foley represents no problem to me at all. Our lives are built around accepting challenges and dealing sometimes with confrontational people. We do it in different ways, there's no doubt about that. My life has been spent around the opportunity to negotiate, to look at a common outcome that actually benefits people, and to put the issues forward so that the people have a chance to consider that. Kevin Foley has a different attitude to it. I have no concern at all about my ability to indeed sit down with ministers from a Liberal government and to determine that the proposals that I accept from them can be funded within budget estimates in the 4 years. Now, I'm not about actually putting the state's finances at risk. I'm committed to a AAA credit rating. I'm committed to keeping debt levels at reasonable amounts, and I'm committed to building infrastructure and services that the state needs. It will be hard negotiations. I have absolutely no doubt about that. Those negotiations will be robust, but they will always be counselled from my point of view on the need for fiscal responsibility to not put our states at risk, which is a bit different to what Kevin's got in the forward estimates.
Thank you, Mr. Griffiths. Mr. Foley, your response to the original question, do you think he can't stand up to you?
Well, $2.7 billion of extra spending the Liberals have put into the forward estimates before the Adelaide Hospital under our plan kicks in. So that's the debt issue. But can I say this, that Steve Griffiths is a nice guy. I've never had an issue with Steve's personality at all. But what we've seen today is the would-be Treasurer in 10 days' time does not know what vertical fiscal imbalance is. He explained horizontal fiscal equalisation. Now, that's a foreign language, unless you're sitting around a table on March 26, which he will have to do if he wins, with Wayne Swan and every other treasurer. The fact that he didn't know what vertical fiscal imbalance was
is an indictment
on his preparedness for the job.
Time is up. 30 seconds. We'll move on to Paul for your question.
Mr. Foley, one criticism, however accurate or otherwise, of your government is that it's become arrogant, out of touch and at times belligerent with opponents. Is this merely a symptom of a government or any government that's been around in office for some time, or is it a perception that requires the government to address that if it's to move on and be re-elected?
Well, that's a good question. What I'm proud of is that this, I think, has been one of the best administrations. You'd expect me to say that, but for many decades. Because let's look back. I'm not proud of what the Bannon Labor government left this state. I've had to deal with it more than any. Now, we look back under the 8 years of a Liberal government. We had Liberal fighting Liberal, we had division, we had treachery, we had an appalling government. Even Liberals know that. Under this government, like us or dislike us, through the most significant economic growth our nation has seen in decades, we have been disciplined, united, stable, and I would argue competent. Not perfect, not without mistakes, but we have been a solid administration that has improved services, lifted our economic performance and given this state great momentum and a great future. I argue that that is put at risk with an inexperienced government, with an inexperienced leader and a treasurer, as we've seen today, who struggles with the concepts of financial accounting when it comes to government budgets.
Your right of reply. Thanks, Mr. Griffiths.
At least I remember to be in his ballpark amounts.
Just your leader did.
The United team is very important. The Liberal Party in the past has had difficulties, that's acknowledged, but I can assure people that the team that Isabel Redmond as a leader of and now presents to the people of South Australia is united as one behind what it needs to do for the benefit of South Australians.
Yeah, right.
We're not in Parliament to help ourselves. We are in Parliament to provide services and infrastructure to South Australians. We're dedicated to that. We have a varying level of experience, some very good people who have been in the Parliament for some time, some great people that have been in there for a short time, and some outstanding candidates that are going to defeat some of your colleagues that are going to...
Thank you, Mr. Griffiths. I hate to cut you off, but, you know, there has to be... We have to go by the rules to some degree, don't we, Mr. Foley?
Ivan's enjoying it over there. You're red in the face, mate. A little less red wine on.
Paul, your next question, thanks.
Mr. Griffiths, the Liberal Party in South Australia has for some time been renowned nationally as being at times divided and at other times bitterly divided. You've had quite a few leaders in recent times, one of them sitting in the audience. How can we trust that, in your words, the team is united as one this time and is ready to lead the state?
Circumstances created the need for a change to occur, and in difficulty, often an inspired choice is made. With Isabel becoming the leader in July of last year, we present to the people of South Australia a person who is not political by nature, but is dedicated to the needs of the state. Isabel speaks the truth. She demands that of all of us. She demands that we're focused on what the big picture issue is here, and that's the future of the state, not what issues personally might be. She has challenged all of us to ensure that we actually perform to that her high expectations. And I can assure everybody in South Australia that the inspiration that she has shown to us has pulled everybody behind her. She's a wonderful lady. She will demand the absolute best from the collective team of Liberal Party members in Parliament to get the best for the state. And any person who does not accept that has not had the opportunity to see Isabel in person. You cannot help to be impressed by the quality of the lady, the truthfulness that she provides, the lack of spin and the real issues that she talks about. She'll be a great Premier, and the team that she'll lead will prove to be a wonderful government.
Thank you, Mr Griffiths. The concept of unity, your response to that, Mr Foley?
Well, look, I like Isabel Redden. I think she's a really nice lady. I've had quite a bit to do with her in conversation, and I respect her. But come on, let's not say Isabel's not political. Isabel destabilised in the end Martin Hamilton Smith. She was the first person out of the blocks to declare that she did not support Martin Hamilton Smith, and she took every opportunity to get out in front of Vicky Chapman, get the numbers early and win the leadership. Isabel Redman is as political as the next person. And can I say this? I've been in... Well, ask Martin, he knows. I've been in the Parliament for 16 years.
It's a very long time. Thank you, Mr. Foley.
I have seen every leader cut the throat of another.
30 seconds is also a very little time. Time for you, Hendrick. Your question to either or.
Well, to Mr. Foley, basically, because I'm still so hurt that you think I do not like you.
Hey, let me take my gout tablet.
Therefore, will you bet those gout tablets that the maximum taxpayer exposure on the newly developed Adelaide Oval will be no more than $450? That's a packet of tablets against $450 million. So will you do that, make that wager, before you get Treasury to cost those figures?
We've made it clear what people fail to understand is we have said we will provide $450 million capped for Adelaide Oval. That's pretty unequivocal commitment by the government. It's not more. I'd like it to be less, to be perfectly honest, but it's not more than 450. And what I'm very confident with, is that both Andrew Demetrio and I, the head of the AFL, have been in discussions with the federal government about getting a sizeable, and I mean a seriously sizeable contribution from the federal government. So I would expect it to be coming in under 450.
Did you have anything to say on the 450 million gap?
It's interesting that the forward estimates show a commitment of $190 million to this project. But it's very interesting also that the stories that are circulating now about coming from the State Management Authority about the increased cost of this of $100 million are gaining strength, Kevin. So I think you'd have a great difficulty actually getting this project across the line. Cricket and football will certainly not, from what the public has stated, pay anything else towards it. So let's hope, if you're still here, you do manage to get money from the feds.
Thanks,
at the moment, you're fully committed to it.
OK, thank you very much, Mr Griffiths. And Hendrick, once again to Mr Griffiths, I think.
Yes, Mr Griffiths. Your party advocated a desalination plant long before Labor, and I think that when they accepted the idea that instead of congratulating them, you accused them of stealing your policies. But let's say that Labor adopts your stormwater policies now, the ones you're taking to this election. How much would the Treasurer have to set aside to adopt your stormwater policies?
We are committed to desal. It's interesting that the initial response was not interested, state doesn't need it, Then a subsequent budget talked about increasing the storage at Mount Loft, at Mount Bold. That has fallen off the radar also. The proposal that we have for stormwater treatment and reuse and putting it back into the network is a $400 million project, 13 key sites, 89 billion litres of water. There is money allocated in our forward estimates that we are presenting to the people of South Australia next week that will demonstrate those projects can happen through a combination of funding from the federal government also. But it will deliver an alternative water source that at the moment is wasted and runs out to sea. South Australia needs to drought-proof itself. It needs to look at what the technological opportunities are and the advances that have been made to put that water back into the network, to remove our reliance upon the River Murray, and to ensure that every drop of water that falls upon our state is captured in some way and can be reused.
Thank you, Mr. Foley. Sorry. No, actually, we've got four representatives from the local government who will be asking the question. So, yes, it certainly is. But we've covered many issues, and I'm sure there'll be more to cover. So perhaps you can ask them personally if you need to ask a question after the debate. Let's have a little look. You're right.
Just quickly, what I don't understand, I mean, Steve's just made another startling admission. You're now saying that $400 million you're expecting a Commonwealth contribution. Yeah, we're allocated those projects, so you're going to scrap those projects. Well, Steve's just said he's going to scrap Labor's committed... Well, you just said you're going to use that money for your projects. Well, I think there's a confusion out there. He's now said that the Liberals will scrap the existing allocated monies that we have for stormwater reuse projects in local government. Felicity, that should have all of your councillors very worried. But can I say...
Thank you, Mr. Foley. Felicity will be asking a question shortly. Sorry, it's not my fault, it's the timer's fault. actually, Paul, I'll go back to you if that's OK.
Well, I'd like Channel 7 to be...
Mr. Foley,
you love Channel 7, Mr. Foley.
Mr. Foley, the government's made much during the campaign that arguably Labor has transitioned South Australia from a rust bucket state to a thriving economy. What further to that, what will you be doing in the future to attract and retain young people to drive the economy of this state?
Well, as the Premier announced, we have a commitment for 100,000 new jobs over the course of the next term, next 6 years, term and a half. We have also 100,000 traineeships that we want to make available for young people. 100,000 traineeships available for young people in this state to ensure that we can train our young and to train those people that need to be reskilled to have the skills of the future. What we have in this state, what we have in this economy, is a breadth of economic and industrial activity we have not had before. That's why unemployment is so low. That's why we have a robust economy. 17,000 additional people into our state over the course of the last 12 months. Positive population growth, positive immigration, we have got a thriving economy that was simply not the case 8 years ago. A lot of challenges ahead, but what we're seeing is massive transformation from old rust bucket economy that had been presided over by former Labor and Liberal governments in the past to a very broad, dynamic, exciting economy.
Thank you, Mr. Griffiths.
Thank you, Representative. The baby boomer generation retirement, which is impending upon all of us, is going to create an enormous opportunity for our young people to actually get into the workforce and have great careers. Kevin made one mistake. It's not actually traineeships, it's training places. There's a clear difference. Traineeships last for 12 months within a workplace. You're talking about training place opportunities for skills to be provided. So there is a difference, Kevin, and we are focused on that also. We want to ensure that our future workforce has all the skills that it needs to capture opportunity, to ensure that workplaces and employers get the people they need to drive their business opportunities.
Thank you very much, Stephen. We'll move on to Paul's second question.
Mr. Griffiths, you spoke before about Ms. Redmond's desire to cut out the spin and to speak plainly. If you're in government, will you be downgrading the size of the government's media unit and saving money on spin doctors?
A great question, Paul, and I appreciate that. A Liberal government will be committed to actually making sure that South Australians are aware of the information and not a spin version of it put before them that makes them think a very different story. Isabel is totally focused on the honesty that needs to be brought into government. She will ensure that the direction she gives ministers and indeed all staff is that the issues be put before the people and that they're informed about that. We are committed to reducing the number of ministers. We think there's an opportunity to save money there. We're We're also committed to ensuring that, therefore, by association, numbers will drop off on the media advisers that are with ministers. We're committed to actually ensuring that government is efficient as possible, and that will involve a review of all levels.
Well, reducing ministers, shrinking the media unit, what's your take on that, Mr Foley?
I think Steve's learning the art of spin quite well, actually. Going back in part to that question about disunity in the Liberal Party, Isabel has 18 shadow ministers. If she wins in 9 or 10 days' time, she's got to make that 12. Who are the six that are going to go? She won't announce that before the election because World War III will break out inside of the Liberal Party. Liberals are born divided as a political party. They will govern as a divided party.
Nick?
Mr Foley, with the polls not looking so good, you've been out talking about how difficult it will be to win a third term. Yet your core campaign promise is 100,000 jobs over 6 years. That's a term and a half, two elections. Isn't it a little bit arrogant to be making those sorts of promises, or did the 100,000 figure sound good and come up with first and worried about the years afterwards?
Not at all, Nick. What we've wanted to do is put a stretch target in. We've created 100,000 jobs over 8 years. In the next term of government, we want to set the economy up. We want to be able to turbocharge the economy to the extent that we can, that 100,000 jobs can be achieved much, much earlier than 8 years. We think 6 years, if we can do it in four, all the better.
Mr Griffiths?
I believe in setting aspirational targets. It's important that we set the vision for what the opportunities are and we work towards that. I am also committed to putting great challenges before government ministers and before the people of South Australia to meet that to ensure that we've got those chances. So a Liberal government is also committed to growing employment numbers. We have a fraction of 800,000 at the moment. We want to keep that moving forward as our population grows so that we have an enormous number of people within South Australia working and being productive in the community.
Thank you. Nick, another one from you, thanks.
Mr Griffiths, the $1 billion you say you'll save on the RAH you've promised to spend on country health. How are you going to spend that money without damaging the AAA credit rating, given that you point out that debt is on the increase and the government's hospital proposal isn't included in budgets until 2016? Where's that money going to come from?
Just to correct again, Nick, it's country and metropolitan hospitals that we're talking about here soon. The government proposal was for a public-private partnership funded over 30 years, or maybe it's 35 as of now. The website talks about 35 under procurement. Talks about, so I'm not, you might want to define that figure of what it actually is. Of a payment being
made
for that period of the lease to cover the cost of the construction of that. It is over that period that there is enormous opportunity to save, because no matter what method of procurement a Liberal government actually takes on, be it traditional government borrowing bill or fund, or indeed the PPP model, there is a considerable difference in the cost associated with that based on the fact that the Labor proposal was $1.7 billion, as is $700 million. It is more than just the $1 billion, it's the interest cost and the profit margin on that for the PPP that allows an enormous amount more money to be retained within budget to fund health needs across that 30 to 35 year period moving forward.
Mr Foley, you look like you want to say something.
That's gobbledygook. Stephen, the next 6 years you will spend $1.7 billion. You've said that. Our $1.7 billion RAH rebuild doesn't hit the books as a PPP in payments until 2016. So for a six-year period, you're going to load another 1.7 with your hospitals plan, further stadium money on top of that.
And we're providing flexibility for either PPP or government procurement.
Steve, the budget capacity doesn't happen until 2016-17. That's where you've made your fundamental error.
Thank you, Mr Foley, and thank you to you, Mr Griffiths, because we will be moving on to Hendrick's question.
Mr Griffiths, Labor has a history of employing previous Liberal figures. John Olson as an envoy overseas, Premiers Brown and Karen. In your wildest fancies, if you win, what job would you ask Kevin to do?
Yeah, what are you going to give me? Agent General London?
Not sure if you're quite suited to that. It's important that we...
Oh, come on, Steve. If I can employ John Olson and Dean Brown,
Kevin, we'll lose them,
I want to get in ahead of Mike Grant. He might want a job.
It is important that South Australia makes use of people who have the greatest skills and the greatest opportunity to further the needs of our state. There is no doubt about that. You have made decisions in regard to employing people who have a skill set that lends itself towards promotion of South Australia and dealing with issues in South Australia. I certainly reflect, though, Isabel's statement quite recently about this, that she was a bit unsure, indeed, on what the future might be. And I think we'll make a decision at
that time. I think she said no.
We'll make a decision at that time about what opportunities might present itself.
Mr. Griffiths, I was hoping for a title, job title. Mr. Foley.
Well, look, I've been involved in all of those decisions. We employed Dean Brown for very good reasons. He fixed and sorted through a project in the Adelaide Hills that needed his skills. We've used his skills because they're the right skills to assist in working through the drought and the river issues. And John Olsen, quite frankly, no one in this state more than me ended John Olsen's career other than himself. Politically, that's what happens. But I didn't hesitate to employ him after 8 years in America. He did an outstanding job, a brilliant job, and you would be foolish, Steve, and Isabel would be foolish, in my opinion, with due respect, not to employ John Olsen to use every single skill that he's developed in his outstanding role as Consul General to the United States.
Thank you very much, Mr. Foley. Hendrick, your question to Mr. Foley.
Mr. Foley, you announced a new jail and then said later that we could not afford it, and prisoners, as far as you were concerned, rack'em, pack'em and stack'em.
I knew that was going to come sometime today.
In your capacity as Treasurer, did you see this week's research by the New South Wales Government's Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research, which talks about the high cost to state taxpayers of keeping prisoners in jail, and saying that the best way of reducing crime and prison costs is to reduce the number of people coming back to prisons? What are you doing to reduce prison re-imprisonment and therefore save us money?
Well, look, this government makes no apology for our position on law and order. I note that under the Liberals, that they don't want to have doubling up in cells, so they want to have one prisoner per cell. That'll mean they'll have to find another half to $700 million to build a new prison, which they haven't gone public with, or they're going to have to release 200 to 300 prisoners. So I'd be interested to know which of the two Steve is going to do, because your prisons minister said you're not going to have doubling up in prison cells. You know, we have a very firm view on this, and that is that a tougher law enforcement and a tougher legal system in terms of the laws of this state is good governance of the state. I would have liked to build a new prison. We could do with a new prison, but it doesn't outrate the other priorities we have as a government. And I have been fairly simplistic on this, but it is a pretty common sense position. If you don't want to go to jail, don't do the crime.
What would you do, Stephen?
Recidivist offenders is a great issue for our society to deal with, there's no doubt. I want to ensure that a Liberal Party returns people from the correctional services system into actually being productive members of the community. It's interesting that, as I understand it, our jails are currently at 132% capacity.
No.
Well, that's what the figures say.
Well, they're hanging off the ceiling or something.
Capacity. And while you've made some level of investment on that to reduce it, there's no doubt...
Well, what are you going to do to fix
our
it?
Our policy will be to review the situation in the first term...
You've released
with
it.
...with a proposal to construct something in the second term of our government.
Thank
construct
you very much,
something
Mr.
in the second
Griffin.
Term. What's it going to cost?
Not quite your time, Mr. Foley, because we are about to thank the panel who've done a great job today. Nick, Paul and Hendrick. Thank you very much for your questions, but we will be opening it up to the floor. As I mentioned earlier, we have some local government representatives who will be asking a question each. First, now can I just ask you all to come up to that microphone, but first we'll hear from the LGA President, Felicity Ann Lewis. Just over up here. So we'll have four questions from the floor. First, Felicity.
Thank you. My question is to the Treasurer. Treasurer, you'd no doubt be aware of the great work that local government has done over the last few years, particularly with support from the state government on our financial sustainability. We're keen to know what your government is proposing as far as structures that could be used to ensure that we are together able to gain a greater share of funds for the from the Commonwealth Government. We've had some good wins with community wastewater management schemes and water money. How do we progress that? We're ready. We've got dollars to bring to the table. We want to know what the next state government will do.
Well, good question. And Steve, this is what vertical fiscal imbalance is. It's about redefining, and it's really what the health debate is about at present. That's the vertical fiscal imbalance. And what Felicity raises as an issue is very important, is that how do we leverage more money out of the Commonwealth, how do we get the state to put more in, and how do we get local government? And the best example, I think, is stormwater. I think we've done exceptionally well at our two levels of government. But I think the whole issue, and even coming out of the Henry Thatcher Review, will be what is the financial relationship between national government, state government and local government? Because it's a terrible imbalance. I complain about it at the state level. It would be a nightmare, quite frankly, at times at local government level, given you're the third tier of government. The best I can say, Felicity, is that it is an issue that we need to address in terms of our fiscal imbalance with the Commonwealth, and it's something that we need to work with local government to address.
And you'll take, Mr Griffiths?
Rosanna, it's interesting. I think for relationships to work, there has to be some level of mutual respect. And an observation that I would make in the 4 years that I've been a Member of Parliament is that the Labor Party has very little respect for local government. It does not believe that it's actually doing the right things. And the constant criticism that comes out of it, when you talk about relationships and you talk about projects, I can confirm that the level of respect that exists within the Liberal Party for local government is a strong one. It recognises the skill set it has and the desire to provide services to its community, and I will ensure that nothing happens to affect that level of relationship.
Thank you, Stephen, and thank you to you, Felicity, for your question. We will invite the Mayor of West Torrens, John Traynor, to come up and deliver his question.
Hey, John.
Oh, you over that side, John.
I was interested in the comment that was made about respect, and I don't think it's because it's a Labor government. I think that in general, state governments are with local government in the same consent that they're held by federal governments. But I'll just direct this question, that the funding that's been provided to libraries...
Who's it to, sorry,
to
John?
To the Treasurer. The funding that's been provided to libraries has been indexed on according to the CPI. But what has happened is the demand on local libraries has just grown out of all proportion to the CPI, particularly with electronic information storage and retrieval. Is there something you can do to address that shortage?
Well, thanks, John. I mean, one of the things I've always wanted local government to do is, this is not a criticism, but it's really what I say to my ministers as well. Sometimes we can't fix all of the problems, but there are some specific problems and issues that we can take on. Now, the issue of CPI or the issue of how we index payments that we make as a government to NGOs, to local government, etc., as the Commonwealth does, is a vexed issue. Because you're right, library demand does not equal CPI. All I can say, John, is that, and I know from Mike Rand's perspective in terms of literacy and the Premier's Reading Challenge, I think you'd be on a bit of a winner, quite frankly, if you approached both Mike and I post-election and had a talk to us. Should we be the government?
I'll be ringing.
Would you also invite John for a chat, Steve?
Certainly, yeah. I'm having worked in local government, and living in a regional community, I recognise the importance that libraries pay to the communities. I believe that agreements in place for funding on something like a 3-year period, and then there's an opportunity to negotiate. It's important that we understand what the needs are, and that we look at what the forward projections on usage are, what the cost implications are, and come to an arrangement that allows the community to have access to that facility while providing as much support as we can.
Thank you very much. And to you, John, thanks for your time today. We will also hear from the Mayor of Murray Bridge, Alan Arben.
Thank you very much. My question is to the Shadow Treasurer. Stephen, I understand the Liberal Party has announced a policy on royalties for regions. Can you tell us how that might benefit regional councils? And can you assure us that it won't be implemented at the expense of existing programs?
Alan, thank you for the question. I've given a total commitment to the fact that our policy on Regional Development Infrastructure Fund, which is 25% of royalties revenue, delivering some $43 million in the first year, will be focused on leveraging funds from private enterprise, community, local government and federal government to create opportunities to invest in regional South Australia. For far too long, the regions have missed out on opportunities because they have not had the level of investment in infrastructure. This fund is focused totally on ensuring that those dollars will be there to support infrastructure opportunities that grow regional economies. And it's important that growth that occurs in South Australia is not just within metropolitan area. We have to provide an opportunity for our regions. The state strategic plan target sets, I think, an 18% of population target for regional South Australia when we have 2 million people living in the state.
That's about what we have now in number-wise. I want to ensure that growth occurs equally across our state and the great people who live in the regions have the chance to capitalise on opportunities and to move their local economy forward and to allow young people that want to stay in the regions to stay in the regions.
Thank you very much, Mr Griffith. Mr Foley, your reply?
Well, I'm interested in that $43 million, Steve, that you're talking is already being spent, so that's another $43 million hit to the bottom line of your budget costings. But some of the best economic development growth we've seen in this state over the course of the last 8 years has in fact been in the regions. I mean, Whyalla, Port Augusta, the economic strength in those towns. Look at the Lower Light and look at the Barossa region, not just because of the outstanding local member in Ivan Venning. You finally got that hospital too, you bugger. And he's a good local member, good bloke, Ivan. But a lot of the strength in our economy is coming from the regions. That have actually contributed well above their weight in terms of economic activity. Some of the most exciting stuff is in the regions around South Australia. The fastest growing city in South Australia is Murray Bridge.
Sorry, your 30 seconds is up. Is that what you were trying to tell me? I obviously missed it. I'm sorry, Susan. There you go. You got an extra 30.
Thank you.
Now you can like me, Mr. Foley.
All right, now I like
you. Well, since we're talking country, we'll head to the York Peninsula to... Well, he's headed over here anyway.
Oh, this could be a Dorothy Dixer for you.
Your stomping ground, Steve. It's Mayor Ray Agnew, if you can take to the microphone. Thank you.
Now, were you Mayor Ray when he was CEO?
No, that was a long time ago.
Thank you, Rosanna. My question is to the Shadow Treasurer, Mr. Stephen Griffiths. Stephen, I know you well, as they've just pointed out. Both you and your colleagues are promising to throw hundreds of millions of dollars at the new city stadium for the two wealthiest sporting codes in the state. I don't begrudge them that they are supplied with that service, particularly the Crows. But the state only provides about $1.4 million a year to support communities' sporting facilities. Shouldn't the state be providing more support for the community level to get more kids fit and active and away from their computer games?
Thank you, Ray. Kevin, I had absolutely no warning about the question also.
I thought you'd offer your old job back.
No, I moved on from there. As a person who has lived within the regions all their life and been a sports person, until injuries caught up with all of us. I'm focused, and in local government, my support was total for getting communities involved in sporting opportunities. The Reckon Sport Open Space Grants are about $50,000 as a national allocation to each electorate that exists within South Australia, so 47, so a bit over $2 million is provided. I recognise there is great competition for that money that comes in, and there's a lot of very worthy projects that cannot be funded from that. I'm very hopeful that there's an opportunity to increase the allocation there to ensure there is a chance for sporting facilities to be provided and equipment so that our young kids do have that chance to actually not only become involved, but the ones that do have some real potential to maximise that opportunity too. We've got to get people active, we've got to get our young kids out there, we've got to give an opportunity for my generation to still be involved in sport too. The regions do it beautifully and I'll be very supportive of that.
And you're taking 30 seconds. Thank you, Mr Foley.
I think Steve's learning the art of spin very well, as I said before. I want to concentrate on the Oval just briefly and say that, to me, it's a no-brainer, Adelaide Oval. $450 million, the best physical location for the Oval. A new city stadium will cost $350 million to build a canopy over the rail yards, $250 million also to shift the rail yards from Keswick, another $250 million to build the car parks, and at least $800 million. Well, you can't build it for the numbers you've mentioned, Steve. The point is, why would we want to spend upwards of $1.5 billion on an inner city
stadium? Mr Foley, this sounds like your closing summary anyway, which... No, it is time for it anyway, so you may as well conclude the debate with your 1 minute spiel.
Thank you. What I want to say is what I said at the very beginning, that this is about who has the capability and experience to lead this state economically. The experience of this Labor government, and it's not without error and mistake, demonstrates that we have the grasp of what it takes to lead this state. Steve Griffiths is a good bloke. I like him personally, but he's demonstrated again today why he's not up to the job. He did not understand a question about vertical fiscal imbalance He talked about, well, you may laugh, the Liberal tables may laugh. The very issue that Kevin Rudd is putting on the table on the health reform that he wants is about vertical fiscal imbalance. It's about the share of revenue and service delivery between state and Commonwealth. 6 days after the election, he has to sit at a table with the Federal Treasurer to talk about vertical fiscal imbalance, and he doesn't even know what the terminology is.
Roseanne, can I...
Thank you very much, Mr. Foley. That's your 1 minute almost up, but Mr. Griffiths, if you can summarise in a minute, thank you.
Roseanne, could I actually just say the question was about having more than $1.4 million for community sporting facilities rather than some of the money that was just going to the ovals. It was about the wider sporting facilities.
And Mr. Foley didn't respond to that specific question. Well, it was his 30 seconds and he can choose how he responds to it, but thank you for raising that. Of course, I did note that as well. His 30 seconds, he can do with it what he likes. And you can do whatever you want with your last minute. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Rosanna. People of South Australia face one of the most important decisions before them for many years in a week and a half's time. I'm confident that they'll make the right choice. They'll make a choice based upon who they believe are the people that can be trusted to guide the moral society, the truthfulness, the economic situation, the real needs of South Australia moving forward. And the Liberal Party is committed to that. I find it interesting that Kevin talks about health reforms. Yes, but it's interesting that the Premier comes out and accepts health reforms immediately without the full understanding of what the implications are on GST revenues, as they have to be devoted back to this health reform. Indeed, what is the financial position? Are we putting ourselves in a worse financial position by you and your government accepting this before April when the debate has to be...
We're in caretaker, Steve. We have not and legally cannot accept and we haven't.
Well, the Premier has quite openly said that he supports it.
Yeah, but we haven't signed off and we haven't committed the state.
Other states are very concerned about that and there is every justification for that. And that's why Isabel Redmond is in Canberra today fighting for the needs of South Australia and ensuring that our position is put and that we have the opportunity to have the information available to us. We're in a position to make an informed decision.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and to you, Mr. Foley, as well, Deputy Treasurer and Shadow Treasurer, I should say. Thank you very much to both of you for being good sports. Let's hear it again for them. And I'm sure if none of your questions were answered, as I said earlier, you can always ask them face-to-face. 8 years versus 8 months, Mr. Heading. We'll see how it all unfolds on March 20. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you to the panellists.
Thank you, Rosanna, and thank you, panellists. I think at last the debate today at least added some spark into the election campaign, and I think it was an excellent opportunity for us all to explore some of the financial issues anyway, in greater depth. So once again, Mr. Foley, Mr. Griffiths, thank you very much for giving up your time today to speak to us. Thank you, Rosanna, and the panel. Please again, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. And Kevin and Stephen, please don't leave without collecting your magnums of red here. And for our panellists and for Rosanna, we have some gift packs as well from Jacobs Creek. Now, the all-important raffle. Of course, Kevin. Jackie, come on. You're drawing the raffle. Now, we have a cordless phone from Telstra. Kevin has expressed a desire to win this.
Well, I wasn't aware that we were a money-making operation.
No, we're not. We don't know that back. What have we got?
Red D1.
We have a red ticket D1. D1, red.
Hello?
Cordless phone. Red ticket D1. No? Very lucky. Okay, now the next one is the $300 voucher from Tim's Manufacturing Jewellers. It's a greenie.
Green D41.
Green, D41. Over the way, thank you. And the carton of beer is a purple, C8. Dave DeVries. There you go. Budweiser. Okay, thank you, Jackie. That's it. Now, there we go. Just a quick mention of a forthcoming luncheon on May the 13th. We have Mark Scott, Managing Director of the ABC, and with a bit of luck, we'll squeeze a lunch, provide Jackie Drewer makes her calls. We'll squeeze the lunch in before then with Dennis Committee, football commentator. We hope to get in the early stages of the football season, so look for that one sometime in April. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Oh, I was wondering whose season was indicating then. Yeah, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to our panel and to our guests today. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.